4-5 in my jean. Open fire if you seem to be blocking my drink. Yes, sir.
No business until you check his. New Orleans fell. I just hope that.
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Good to have you here. It's a Tuesday morning. We were talking about some of the flooding conditions that are happening in parts of the province, that east central part of the province, and even parts of the southeast, where you literally can't walk into a hardware store and buy a pump because they've literally been sold out. Bare shelves. A number of people have sent those texts in as of yesterday. Another text this morning I got when we were talking about weather conditions, Kendra from Maple Creek. So you'll remember yesterday we had a texter from Liebenthal who had sent pictures of the damaging hail that they got over the weekend and what it did to gardens and yards and windows and roofs and you name it. Well, Kendra pointing out that they had all of these beautiful yellow blooms of canola in the fields. And then after that storm blew through, they're basically sticks with leaves. It's turned what was a good news story, because don't forget, they've had 9 years of drought in that area. This year, the crops were looking good. They had a couple of well-timed rains. And now this disaster rolls through and is causing, obviously, some problems for many in that area. So, Kendra, thanks so much for the text, and we appreciate you sharing the view from out of your window and what you're seeing in your part of the province. Well, healthcare continues to be a topic of conversation. We have talked a lot about family doctors and how there are a number of people who are in between family doctors. Their family doctor may be retired or moved, and as a result, they're trying to find one. This is a problem. Many people on this program will call in or text in and talk about the challenges they've had, and we've seen the increase in nurse practitioners, for example, trying to help fill the void. The 811 health line, we've talked about that option. Pharmacists can play a role, but family doctors are needed. There's no doubt about it. There's recruitment, retention efforts going on in the province. But one of the things that we also should look at is not only do we need more doctors, but what are we asking them to do? And this is where the discussion can focus on the administrative duties. So seeing you as a patient is a part of that job, but then they've got paperwork to do. And the paperwork can be quite extensive. Here to talk a little bit more about this is family doctor from Saskatoon, Dr. Jason Hossein, who has been on our program before and joins us by phone from his office today. Doc, thanks so much for taking the call.
Hey, thank you, Evan.
Administrative burden. I mean, I think of that from a policing standpoint, and I remember what the mountain of paperwork looked like. Can you give us a bit of a perspective from a family doctor's point of view?
Absolutely. So I think the issue here is that patients only see what they see. So, you know, you spend 10 or 15 minutes with me in the exam room, we have a good visit, and I think that patients get the idea that that's the end of it and that they're on, that the doctor's on to the next patient. But what they don't see is all the behind-the-scenes work that goes into their care. So, you know, a good rule is for every minute that a family doctor spends with a patient, there's probably an equal amount of time spent on doing other things, and that could be filling out forms. That could be typing my clinic note. So after I see you, I have to type out a lovely visit note explaining what I heard from you, what I saw in physical exam, what I think's going on, and what I intend to do about it. And let me tell you, Evan, I'm not a fast typer, so that can take quite a while to do. So again, patients only see what they see, but there's a back end to medicine. There's a lot of behind the scenes care that goes on.
What do you use those reports? Is that for your own reference? Is it a requirement under the SHA?
Absolutely. It's a College of Physicians and Surgeons requirement that we adhere to certain charting standards. And it's for the patient's benefit, because if I get hit by a bus, you know, one of those big buses with your picture on it, and I'm killed, then somebody else has to assume care of my patients.
Right.
They're going to depend on those notes. So they're very important, but they're extremely time-consuming to complete. And I think I don't want to spend too much time on chart notes, because the thing that's really killing family doctors right now is forms. There are so many forms. They are long. They are complex. And I'm not clear that they actually contribute much to patient care other than meeting the needs of the people who create the forms.
Dr. Jason Hossain is my guest. Give us an example. Like, what are the forms for? What are they when you're referring someone to a specialist or?
No. I'm talking about things like the disability tax credit form. So right now, that's an extremely popular one. Everyone and their dog, it seems, is coming in wanting one of these filled out to see if they can get a tax credit because they may or may not have a substantial disability. And I don't have one in front of me, but I do have one in front of me. Look at that, Evan. Holy cow. What are we at? 16 pages, 17 pages. It's a 17-page form. And that takes time to fill out. It's not just writing it out. You have to go into the chart and find details of information. So a form like that could take half an hour to fill out.
Right.
And that's just an example of a federal government form. But, you know, SGI, Workers' Compensation Board, employers, insurance companies, they all have their forms. They're all different, and they are all long and complex to complete. It kills family doctors.
So go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm interested in is recruiting new family doctors. And the College of Medicine graduates about 100 students every year. And the students work with us all, and they see what we do. And I think that the students see, oh, my gosh, that family doctor, he's doing so much paperwork. I don't want any part of that. And I fear that this is pushing our medical graduates into other things like specialties when they really could be doing family medicine if it weren't for all the administrative burden that they witness when they're students. I think it's a real disincentive.
You answered part of the question that I was going to ask you is how, what are the impacts of this? So you've got, you know, let's call it hour for hour, patient time versus administrative work, hour for hour. What is the impact of that on patients and on the system? You've already talked a bit about maybe complicating the recruiting part of this.
Yeah, I'm really afraid that it's scaring away medical graduates. It's causing burnout in current family physicians, and it just takes away time. It takes away bedside time. I want to be in a room seeing patients, figuring out what's wrong with them and helping them. Now, here, let's talk about your show, Evan. Like, you run a show, and the reason it works well is because Evan does what Evan does best. Evan's not booking patients. He's got Nicole and Frank to do that for him. Evan's not mixing the audio. He's got someone to do that. And Evan's not out there in front of the Rolco radio building mowing the lawn because there's somebody doing that. The show works because you do what you do, and that's all you do. So I'm looking to create conditions where family docs don't have to do all this administrative burden so we can be in the room providing care to patients. And if that happens, we can see more patients, and then that will help address some of the gap. Like right now, 1 in 5, 1 in 6 people in Saskatchewan don't have a family doctor. And I'm sorry, but the supply doesn't seem like it's going to increase anytime soon. Mm-hmm. We have to look at ways of improving efficiency so that I can be in there in the room with you, figuring out your situation.
I mean, that makes great sense, Doc, for sure. So what are the ways out of this? Are there jurisdictions that have found workarounds or alternatives to this that alleviate some of this administrative pressure? How does technology help with that?
Well, again, there's hope. There's always hope, Evan. If you live in Saskatchewan, you live on hope, right? One of the things is AI. AI currently, in the current state, I could have my cell phone on the desk with the patient's knowledge that this is happening. I could have my cell phone out on my desk and it would not record the visit. It would listen to the visit and summarize it into a visit note that I could just copy and paste into my computer. And it's almost, I believe that within the next year to 2 years, the AI will be sufficiently good that it can do some of the heavy lifting of filling out these forms for me. Mm-hmm. So there's tremendous hope there. Now, again, I can't use AI without patient's consent. So it's really important that your listeners understand AI, ask questions about their doctor. Are these transcripts being recorded? Where are the servers located? Are they in Canada? Are they in the United States? Ask questions. But ultimately, my hope is that patients will be okay with me using AI because, again, if I'm not sitting in my office typing slowly at 25 words a minute, I can be in a room seeing you. that's where technology is really going to help us. There's another thing your listeners probably aren't aware of, and that's the Senate Bill S-5, which is some legislation coming down the pipeline that, if passed, will require the companies that produce EMRs to be interoperable. And why that's important is because if I am seeing you at my clinic in a walk-in, but your normal doctor is using a different EMR vendor, I can't see their notes. It's a brick wall. I can't see anything. There's no interoperability. So again, when I say administrative burden, part of it is filling out forms and all that jazz, but part of it is the time I waste trying to search for the information I need to look after you in that moment. So again, technology is going to be a big one. And I think there's a legislative thing here too. You know, sick notes. You and I were kind of talking offline before about legislation for sick notes. Employers are still demanding sick notes for absences as short as one day. I mean, that's crazy to me, because that's a visit that could have been used by somebody else. And the bottom line is, if you're an employer, you either trust your employees or you don't. If you require them to come in for a sick note when they've been off for one day, that's just wild to me. So again, legislation is one sort of solution, but technology is going to be the real one. And I think it's imperative that your listeners understand the technology and ask questions and hopefully are okay with us using it.
Saskatchewan family doctor, Dr. Jason Hossain is our guest. The sick note thing is actually a topic that we're broaching next on the show, because Germany has put together a number of labor reforms, and one of them that they're going to suggest that they go forward with is basically to reduce sick days, because they're saying they have a productivity issue in a lot of their industries there. To try and reduce that, they're basically saying you can't call in sick by telephone. You require a medical certificate, even if it's just for one day. I can't imagine what that'll do to their healthcare system.
It will crush us, Evan. It will crush us. It's unintended consequences. You think you're solving one problem, but you're creating a totally different problem elsewhere. And I think that's because maybe healthcare doesn't talk to other industries. There's not enough cross-pollination there. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it would crush us.
Well, Saskatchewan has, it was May of last year, I believe, the Saskatchewan Employment Amendment Act was given a royal assent, which made a number of changes to workplace laws on topics that included sick time, basically moving it to 5 days before you need a doctor's note. But as you said, there's some workplaces that have their own policy that maybe doesn't follow that provincial legislation.
Yeah, when you're a worker in this economy, I don't know if you want to try and stand up to your boss and say, hey, there's a law that says I don't need this note. It's kind of a scary thing to do. So I think, you know, laws are great, but, you know, if people don't feel safe to stand up for their rights in the law, then they come to their doctor looking for that sick note.
Dr. Jason Hossain is my guest. Before I let you go, I was curious. I've read a couple of articles, and we actually had a guest on the show a few months back talking about the impact that AI, Google, all of this online information has on doctors, because patients, you know, they'll do their own digging, they'll diagnose what they think the problem is, and then the visit to the doctors has them, the doctor, spending a lot of time maybe undoing some of the misinformation they've gathered. Is that something you've noticed at all?
Oh, Evan, how much time do you have to talk about this? It's a big problem. And I think the thing I'm going to say to people is, when you're reading things online, when you're listening to podcasts, when you're looking at things on Instagram, I think you really need to understand, what is the person who's telling you these things getting out of it? Are they selling a product, for instance? You know, they really have to be critical when they're perusing this material to make sure that it's actually being delivered altruistically. Mm-hmm. When you come to your doctor, you know, I'm not trying to sell you something. I can't sell pills. I can't sell vitamins and devices and things. I'm not allowed to. So you can kind of accept that what I'm telling you is in your best interest. So I guess what I'm saying is, when people are consuming this material online, it's okay to do that. I like people to be educated, but have a critical eye when you're going through these Instagram reels, when you're going through TikTok, when you're going through YouTube. What is the person stand to gain by putting this material out there into the world?
Doc, always appreciate the check-in. Thanks so much for the time today.
All right. Thank you, sir. Have a good one.
Dr. Jason Hossain, who gives us a really good perspective of, you know, the amount of administrative duties that doctors have, family doctors particularly, that's what we're talking about today, after they have a visit with you. And they've given you a diagnosis. They've given you a bit of a treatment plan or whatever it is that they're talking and consulting with you about. There's a lot of paperwork to do after the fact. Is there a way to reduce that burden? Does that burden deter newly trained doctors from going into family medicine? Does it cause them to say, you know what, that doesn't look attractive to me. I think I'll specialize and do this instead. Really good conversation. Okay, this whole booking off sick conversation is where we're going to go when we come back. In fact, we're going to open up phone lines. I want to hear from you. So we'll take a break. But when we come back, Germany is suggesting you can no longer just simply pick up the phone and book off sick from work. If their legislation passes, you will need a doctor's note. Do we make it too easy for people to book off sick in Canada? Or have we got it right? Your thoughts when we come back on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.